It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Dave, are you ready?
Am I ready?
Are you ready? Because I've been, you know, I've been hearing all these sports trivia questions being delivered to you, and you are like the almanac of the history book. So I have a couple for you.
Really?
Yes.
Are these good questions?
I mean, I deem them to be good questions because I feel like I'm going to stump you.
All right, let's go. What do you got?
Okay. What is the diameter of a basketball hoop in inches?
I've heard this.
Stump number one, win for J. Will.
I might not know it.
Yeah. Do you want the answer?
Rick, you have any idea?
This is not a great look for you right now.
Well, I don't know everything.
It would be a guess. I think it's like, is it 18 inches?
Oh, Rick! Oh, Rick, way to be on it. The answer is 18 inches. Congratulations. Yes. You get
there
a car,
go,
Rick.
One.
Dave, you not so much. You have to walk. Dave.
All right. What else
next
you got?
Question.
Uh-huh.
What do you call it when a bowler makes three strikes in a row?
I know this.
I think I know this. Isn't this like a Thanksgiving kind of thing?
I don't know. Yes. You tell me, Dave.
Yes.
I believe it's a turkey.
It's a turkey. Oh, this is impressive. Okay. All right. I have another one for you. How many dimples does an average golf ball have?
Quick, Dave, flex your butt cheeks.
That's not funny. The answer, in fact, would be about 400, I believe.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Do you want to use a lifeline?
Nope.
Wrong. 336.
No,
last
you
one.
Said average.
Yes, average, 336.
You have the body of a golfer. That's not nice.
I think 400 is, I think it's right there.
How many dimples does an average golf ball have? 336. Don't yell at me. I'm the host. One last question for you before I go.
All right. Are you going to play the where did this guy go to college portion?
No. I'm playing my game.
All right.
All right. Last one. What's the national sport of Canada?
I think it's, is it lacrosse?
Oh, you are incredible.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
I'm very smart. Because you wanted me to say hockey,
I
wasn't falling for your reindeer games.
I am, Rick, beyond impressed on Dave.
He's a savant, Jay.
Yeah, okay, I'm baffled.
Now you know what it's like to work with a real genius, Jay.
A genius.
Compared to what I work with.
You're over there slumming it.
I don't know. I wonder how many questions Max Kellerman can get.
Why don't you ask him on the show?
Ask him.
I think I will. I think I'll ask him a couple of these trivia questions.
Goodbye, Jay.
Goodbye, boys.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPNU. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. The app is on your phone already. It's in your pocket. Scroll down to live radio, and you can find us right there. So you like what you're hearing, just keep going. You take what's with you in your ears. You don't have to be tied down to your car. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've been playing today, little game, what I thought at the beginning of the season versus what I now know. I thought Geno Smith was a joke. I now know. Joke's on me. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Jay.
What's happening there, Max?
I don't know. Jay seemed to be having fun talking to DiPietro and Rothenberg just now.
Yeah, we're just playing a little sports trivia.
Yeah.
A little, and since we're testing everybody's
how many dimples are on a golf ball?
is that a country club laugh? Is that what you're?
Hold on, let me. 336.
I already told you the answer.
No.
Well done.
You didn't tell me the answer.
Yeah, I said it out loud in front of you during crosstalk.
I didn't hear it.
All right, I got one for you, Max.
Yes, go ahead.
Let's start with the easy one.
Good.
Are you ready?
Yes. Oh, that's it. I win.
This guy. How long is a marathon?
26 miles.
Wrong.
Point something.
Point what?
Ah, damn it. Point four.
Wrong. 26.2.
Two. Yeah, two. That's right, two.
Yeah.
By the way, you have to be a fool to run a marathon. Go ahead.
How many players on a baseball team?
25.
Nine.
No, roster? 25.
How many players on a baseball team?
Oh, any one? You mean on a MLB roster?
On the field.
Yes. 9, Jay, yes.
I'm asking you, these are little questions that you need no answers to.
Well, but everyone knows that. That's like, you know, how many players you just.
But you answered it.
I did.
You
said a baseball team.
You answered it.
You said a team. A team consists of a bullpen, a pitching staff.
A roster.
Yeah, a roster.
From front to back, the bullpen, the dugout, the field.
Which sport uses a net, a racket, and a shuttlecock?
Jay, this is for children, this show.
Yes, it is.
Let's keep it PG.
Yes. Your final answer.
I don't get into that kind of material, Jay.
Why are you looking like that, man? What you trying to get a hosting job?
It's the music. It's the music. It's everything about the energy.
I don't know. Pickleball? I don't know.
Badminton. Hmm. You should know this.
Badminton, really? Badminton championships coming up.
It's not my fault you didn't know these answers.
Pickleball, badminton, same thing to me.
Yeah.
Me
too. Key, I have one for you.
Yeah, what's it? What is it?
How many sports were included in the 2008 Summer Olympics?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'm not even going to sit here and act like I do.
I have another one for you.
Because when I watch the Olympics, I watch three games.
28, okay. A sporting event is held every year on Memorial Day. What is it? Max, do you have an answer?
I don't.
Baseball, yeah, I don't know.
Indianapolis 500.
You
guys think
of this
game.
Would you call that a sporting event, though, really?
You guys think of this game.
You're giving me a sport that I really, you know.
But a sporting event, the car seems to be doing a lot of the work to me.
No, NASCAR, the drivers are...
I'm not saying, but a sport, you can't really gauge the athleticism of a driver.
Last one.
You have to.
Last one.
To drive.
Last one.
Strength and all the...
What is the only sport to be played on the moon?
Golf.
Bingo! Yeah. Well done, Max.
Because they'd want to show off.
Key had no chance.
They want to show off the fact that you could hit a ball, 10 miles or whatever
You're
it is with the gravity.
I'm not interested in going to the moon, are you, Jay?
The mass of the moon so much smaller than the Earth, the gravitational effect.
I would like
effect.
To go to outer space.
Yeah, you should.
Would you?
I would go to outer space.
You
yes.
really would?
Yes. I am a sci-fi person. Every sci-fi movie I'm into, I want to
Do you understand
it.
That cosmic it's velocity, really smart, meaning though, every piece of debris is going at an average of 40,000 miles
I'm
an
hour? I'm
trying
to get as far away from Max Kellerman as possible.
If a pebble is
Please,
floating by, it's like
to
a
Mars.
Bullet.
Can we do this show from Mars? Please.
Try to get far away from me as possible. Smart man. All right. Kind of insulted me, hurt my feelings a little bit. Jerry Jones says Odell Beckham Jr. could look pretty good with the Cowboys. Listen to what he said on 105.3 The Fan.
We have all the appreciation in the world for what he is as a competitor. I know that the Cowboy star on that helmet, when he puts it on, could look pretty good. We should be aware that he's... coming off this injury, but he showed he can do it and do it well last year. My experience has been when we've brought a veteran player in, they hit the ground running. I think that you're looking at a player that his experience far outweighs any of that ambiguity involved with how's he going to fit your system.
How's he going to fit your system?
How does he fit the system, Key?
Perfect. They need a guy like this. I mean, you got Noah Brown.
Good thing they're getting him, right? I mean, it seems like they're getting him.
Yeah,
it
sounds like it. Got CeeDee Lamb. You got Michael Gallup. Schultz at the tight end. Pollard, Zeke, Dak. You add OBJ in there to be your 3-2-3 guy. Because CeeDee Lamb will eat up most of the doubles until OBJ starts to take off in the mid-December, early January. And then they'll start to rotate coverages toward him, and CeeDee Lamb can eat. The only reason why Amari Cooper, it's not that Amari Cooper couldn't play. Amari Cooper has such a high number that they were not willing to eat $20 million for Amari Cooper this year, where they don't have to pay that to OBJ. You know, OBJ is a fraction of the cost, but going to probably give you the same amount of production.
What is that in the NFL, Key, where some guys, the brand gets changed somehow, and they're no longer $20 million a year players, even if they, like, the reason everyone wants them is we're getting $20 million of value, but we don't have to pay the freight.
Well, it's OBJ's hurt.
Right. Usually it's
coming
injury.
He's coming off of two ACL injuries over the last couple years. So,
but when he's been on
when
the
you've
field.
Been bounced around, it hurts your market value. Mm-hmm. When you bounced around, it just hurts your market value. He struggled in Cleveland, so people already had somewhat of a certain thought process, vision of who he was. Then he goes to the Rams. He balls out. It raises him slightly, but then he gets hurt.
Yeah.
So now it's like, well, he's 30 years old. He's hurt. Hey, we can get him for a buck.
Right. I'll take him.
I'll take him.
I'll give you two.
That's,
$2.
That's the messed up part about it, because there's dudes that are making so much more money than him that will make more money than him and won't even give you half the production.
Yes. And in fact, they're all in the Giants, as a matter of fact.
Does it make sense for him to – do you bet on yourself coming off two ACL injuries for a year deal?
Ain't no more betting on yourself, though, Jay. It's over with. Just being honest.
What do you mean it's over with?
As far as that bet on yourself to get more money, that's over with because of his age and the injuries. This is talking about 23-year-old OBJ.
Understood, but I'm asking you, if you were OBJ,
yeah,
would you take a year deal, or would you want more security and take a 3-year deal?
He's got 3 years to go, really, in his career. He's probably got 3 solid years if he's healthy. And then at that point, they're going to look at him, you're 34 years old, right? I mean, that's just what it is. When you start to get to that 30 in the NFL,
you're not getting
$80 million. Yeah, it's so different. When you get to 30, Jay, unlike basketball, when you get to 30 in basketball, you're like, man, we got another $400 million for you.
Yeah.
When you get to 30 in NFL, they go, man, won't you give us some of that 10 back that we gave you last year?
See, that's why I think playing for the boys towards the tail end of his career will probably be the best move for him financially and business-wise. Like, OBJ is a brand, right? Like, it's almost like the Jordan brand to a degree. I'm not saying they're the same, but it has that cultural feel towards it. And what better to represent America's team than the brand? Look, real talk, than the brand of OBJ.
If you're talking about transitioning,
somebody's saying, hey, you're not going to make as much money, I'm like, all right, cool. I'm about to be that dude on this team and create the brand for the next 15 years of football.
He's going to get money, but just not the money that he used to make.
But Jay is talking about post-career.
Yes, man.
Like, when I think about Odell Beckham Jr., who had one of the best starts ever in the history of football to his career, and then got hurt and things didn't happen and this and that, but won a Super Bowl and looked like he was on his way to winning Super Bowl MVP, redeemed himself, all this kind of stuff. If he balls out for a couple of years toward the end of his career on the Dallas Cowboys, the way we think of him, his status goes from, you know, not a flash in the pan, but he was big in his day to legendary status, right? Mm-hmm. And after his career, Jay, and whatever he wants to do, his star is so big at that point.
His star, think about
that. For the rest of his life, he has greater financial opportunity. I agree with
Jay. There's something about playing in New York and playing for the Dallas Cowboys that if you are good at what you did, you could benefit on that after in your post-career, especially like with the Dallas Cowboys, for instance. When you look at the Dallas Cowboys, once upon a time, and I don't know what OB, I don't know if he wants to get into acting or modeling or whatever the case may be, but once upon a time, there was about 8 Dallas Cowboys at once on television.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did this sports commentary, the whole deal. You know, Michael, Troy, Dion, myself, Tony Romo, Moose Johnston. I mean, it's just, you know.
It's unreal. Every market, every team, every national show, every network, there's a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah. And then on top of that, there's opportunities where there may not be other opportunities outside of television when you're in that marketplace. Whether it's in the real estate business, whether again
he's going to the Cowboys, come on,
that's what I'm saying. Makes all sense in the world.
Because Jerry is telling him the same thing I'm telling you.
Think about
I've
this.
I've been told that.
Think about how many things
recruit me.
How many things converge here? Number one, so he's not going back to the Rams, which is going to happen because they're no good. Why go back to a non-playoff contender, right? But so you're looking for a team where you can contend. Cowboys, check. You're looking for a team where you don't have to carry the whole load. Cowboys, check. You're looking for a team who nevertheless needs exactly what you do. Cowboys, check. A big brand to amplify your own brand. Cowboys, check. Warm weather, check. Proximity to L.A. and Louisiana, where you live, check. Check.
No state income tax.
I mean, how could it be anything else?
I was going to say, where's Tannenbaum when you need him?
After all that said, please come to the Giants, Odell. Come on. Never mind what I just said. Just come to the Giants. We need you.
I don't know. Ask Tim Hasselbeck. He was a former Giant.
Hey, Shaq's house is for sale in Dallas.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with their easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, with us now. Morning, Tim. We've been talking about Odell this morning. What would he bring to the Dallas offense?
No, I mean, he would help them just, I guess, in a lot of ways, just from the standpoint of his talent. And because of the way that that offense is structured with, you know, truthfully, a couple of other, you know, relatively talented wide receivers, you know, I think that he would find himself in situations where he's got good matchups. And because they have a quarterback that's good at distributing the football, you know, from a talent perspective, there's no question that he would help them a lot.
When do you think, though, the need to get him up and going, Tim, should be? Should they sign him now and get him acclimated to what their, you know, what the system is, get him in the building? Or could they wait, you know, several more weeks?
I think they could wait a few more weeks. I mean, here we are kind of at the beginning of November. Look, the reason you would sign him is not because you think you're going to win a playoff game. I mean, the reason you sign him is because you think he maybe helps you win a Super Bowl. And so with that, I would say that, you know, as we got closer to Thanksgiving, I think you could still do it. I mean, obviously, the earlier, the better. But, you know, I guess the question ends up being, you know, if you're Odell, truthfully, between, you know, just kind of the knee and the rehab and the patience, it's probably helped you because, you know, I heard you guys, you know, talking, you know, before I came on, I think Max, you said it, like waiting has helped him. Look, he could be at the Rams right now, which is not where you would want to be. And so the fact that, you know, he wasn't too eager to just say, Hey, I'm going to go ahead and do something with a team that he was familiar with and probably wanted them back. Like that would not be where you want to be playing, you know, here in the middle, you know, beginning the middle of November.
Tim, I want to switch gears to what's happening out right now in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. What's your take from somebody who's played the position on why it hasn't worked with Aaron Rodgers in the Packers situation?
I think there's a couple of things at play here. I don't think there's any question that there have been elements where young receivers or new receivers just haven't, you know, played at the level that other guys that have played there with Aaron have played. So there's a game a couple of weeks back, for example, like Romeo Dobbs was targeted, I believe, four or five times in the game, and they were all on critical downs, third and fourth down. They didn't connect a single time. You know, a lot of teams will chart, you know, target to completion percentage, just basically like, all right, when we throw to this guy, do we complete it? Like, and so there are guys that have underperformed in that area. And so that's been real. But look, that does not absolve Aaron from responsibility in terms of how accurate he has been, decisions that he has made. And I would just say this, Jay, well, like if you look at the last 4 years, nobody has dominated the NFL from a quarterback position the way over that time span, the way that Aaron Rodgers has, like a touchdown to interception ratio that we've never seen before over that stretch. It's been remarkable. And so, you know, I'm not saying this from the standpoint of like, hey, Aaron Rodgers stinks, but the reality is he's not playing at that level that we saw him playing at where he was dominating the NFL. In fact, you just look at the game against Detroit this last weekend. All three of those, you know, interceptions that he throws against the Lions, you know, are really quarterback error, you know, not something else that happened on the play where, you know, it kind of, you know, trapped the quarterback into making a bad decision to throw. Like those were plays that he typically makes. And I think the play around him, you know, and I think his play has made it look as bad as it's looked so far.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and of course, I can't leave out Max. Tim, your professional eyes, what you see, not what the mathematical deal is, but what you see, are the Green Bay Packers done? Is the season over for them? Should they start calling the storage facility and the moving trucks?
Yeah, I think they're done because when I look at them, I don't know where the connection is going to happen. I don't think that, you know, I think all of us can probably say, like, we've watched offenses this year and we look at them and we say, you know what? They look disconnected. And I, like, where's the help coming from? And so, like, when I look at Green Bay, like, that's what I think. I look at Green Bay and I'm like, well, where, like, how is this changing? So it's like we just see something completely different from the tight end and receiver group and the quarterback. I don't see it happening. And so, look, could we see the quarterback play better? I want to believe that because I've seen it so many times. But I haven't seen the guys that are in the receiver group. I haven't seen them do it. Like, I thought Amari Rodgers was going to be a great player. I thought Amari Rodgers was going to be a better version of Randall Cobb. He hasn't been. You know, and I think that, you know, it's easier to get worse than better at receiver. You just look at hit rate on first round receivers. Like, it just, that's a real thing. And so, look, ask the Tennessee Titans. Like, it's just, that's a position that I think is hard to get better at, and they have not played well, and I don't see them getting better.
Yeah, I hear you. Kirk Cousins is 7-1. And I want to ask you this, Tim. Is he a top 10 quarterback right now, today, in the National Football League? Because Max Kellerman has him sitting at 16.
15.
No, 16.
15.
You had Jacoby Brissett.
I know, but I took Brissett out.
No, you can't. No,
I got talked out of it. No, I did it. All right, whatever. Good, 16. I'll put Trevor Lawrence in there. Good.
Is he?
I mean, I don't have my list in front of me right now, but, like, if you're talking about Trevor and Brissett being better than him, like, what are you watching? I feel like there's been this.
Tim, you don't have
momentum
to be polite
on Kirk Cousins.
Don't be polite with him, Tim.
Listen,
tell
I feel
your
like
truth.
There's been this momentum on Kirk Cousins for a long time, you know, that, and I think some of it had to do with people were originally turned off by, like, the 3-year, $84 million contract, and they're like, wait a second, what? He's worth that, and he's making more money than this player. Kirk Cousins can play the position at an extremely high level.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say it right now. Kirk Cousins is good enough to win a Super Bowl. Kirk Cousins would make a lot of teams better. Washington would be in a far better place as a franchise if they just would have paid Kirk Cousins. Like, to me, I don't get why, you know, there's this, you know, this feeling on Kirk that he's some type of liability. There are a lot of teams that would trade their quarterback for Kirk Cousins. It's more than half of the league for sure.
Timmy, let me run off the list really quick for you. So he has 16 of them, starting with the obvious, right? Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen.
Yep.
He got Tua at third, Jalen Hurts at 4.
This year, this is this year.
This is year, this right now.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts at 4, Lamar Jackson at 5, Geno Smith at 6, Justin Herbert at 7, Joe Burrow at 8, Dak Prescott at 9, Justin Fields at 10.
This is when I stopped ordering them, baby.
Don't go there.
True.
Jacoby Brissett at 11.
I take him out.
Marcus Mariota
at
12.
Standby.
Now, mind you, Tom Brady at 13. Jimmy Garoppolo ahead of Kirk Cousins at 14.
Easy.
Daniel Jones slightly ahead of Kirk Cousins at 15, but below
Jones better than Kirk
but
Cousins.
Below Justin Fields, and then Kirk Cousins pulling up the rear at 16.
Daniel Jones better than Kirk Cousins.
But you got him at 15.
I take him in a second over Kirk Cousins. In a second.
Hey, listen.
Bigger, faster, younger. Throws it just as well.
Will you let this man go?
The energy in Key's voice is how I feel.
The only thing I would change is I take Brissett out and I change the order of some of them, but I think he's the 15th.
You got Tom Brady at 13.
Tom Brady better than – who'd you rather have, Tom Brady or Kirk Cousins?
You got Justin Fields
it's
at
not,
10.
You got Tom Brady at 13.
Yeah,
he
but this
be
year. No, I'm basing it on this year. He struggled a lot.
He's had some issues. Okay, you lost a little weight.
I agree, but just based on this year. Based on this. By the way, if you swapped Kirk Cousins out with the Washington franchise, they don't have enough. He needs a lot around him.
No, he's been. What he means is they've been searching for a quarterback since he left.
Oh yeah, well that's true. That's clearly true. Yeah.
I just like to me. I look at like, are we sure that Justin Herbert's been like, hey, we're gonna have him way up here? Really?
Yep.
Listen, I love Justin Herbert.
He's
much
been
as
playing
anybody.
Through barbecue ribs. By the way, they got 5 wins on the season? He's been playing through barbecued ribs and injuries everywhere. He got 5 wins.
Tim. But by the way, I am not ready to anoint people that fast.
But by the way, Max, at the beginning of the year, we said if they don't make the playoffs, no more excuses.
I'm with it, Jay. So I'm with it. I'm staying by it. Name one thing Kirk Cousins does as well as Justin Herbert. Win. No, he's on a better team. Come on, stop. They're healthy.
Whose voice was that?
Right.
But listen, like you could say, like, what does he mean? I mean, he makes really good decisions. He operates the boot game probably as well as anybody in the NFL. People can say what they want about Kirk Cousins in terms of, look, does he have the arm that Mahomes or Allen or Herbert or those guys have? Of course not. He does not. But Kirk Cousins, in terms of like courage in the pocket, throwing through static and people around you, I would argue that he has done that as well as anybody.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I think he's a top half quarterback, barely. I agree.
He's good.
Yeah, he's mid-pack. He's a mid-pack quarterback. You can have him a little higher or lower, but he's not top 10 is my point. That is the great Tim Hasselbeck, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL analyst. Riled him up, riled Key up this morning. Who else?
Marcus Mariota had 12? Mariota's
had a better year so far than Kirk Cousins.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Charles Grantham, former executive director of the NBA, of the NBPA, from 88 to 95, is with us now. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. How are you?
What's up, Charlie? How you doing this morning?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing
very good.
So, Charles, you and I have known each other for a very long time. I wanted to kick this thing off by asking you, if you were running the Players Association right now, how would you advise Kyrie Irving to move forward considering this situation?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we've sort of been here before, back in the 80s when it was perceived that the NBA was too black. We had a drug issue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what the challenge for leadership now is, how do we face this potential outside force here that could negatively impact our business? So, I mean, in the backdrop of all this, they're also trying to negotiate a new collective bargaining agreement. So the NBA Players Association, of course, can appeal and probably likely will appeal. However, I will say this, that there's no one better at forward thinking than Commissioner Adam Silver. So the question of collaboration as to how these parties work together in an environment that could impact your business is extremely important. So going forward, I suspect that the conditions that are being outlined by the Nets, after meeting with Adam Silver, I think there will be some collaboration there. There could be some movement. So the point is here, guys, that racial issues are always very, very, very challenging, but can be done. I mean, you know, I had the fortune, the very good fortune of meeting Nelson Mandela back in the 90s at the end of apartheid. And his point was he could change the world with sports. And, you know, there are people that were very doubtful. However, the U.S. The Rugby World Championships were played in South Africa, or going to be in the next couple of years. He took an all-white rugby team into the black community of Soweto. And over a three-year period, when they finally had the championships, he had an integrated audience of thousands of people. So the question is, how do the leadership, because we're often measured by how we deal with conflict. Is it a collaboration? Do we cooperate here and try to move forward? The NBA is built for that, the coalition that they've created. So I expect that the parties will somehow get together to advance the ball here for both Kyrie and the community.
Charles Grantham, former executive director of the MBPA from 88 to 95, with us on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio. Charles, do you think that it's possible, or would you, as part of an argument to the league, say something along the lines of, look, if the point is to create better understanding, etc., what you don't want to do is be overly burdensome in terms of meeting out some kind of requirements for Kyrie, because there's a backlash effect, right? Like, people start to feel like someone's being told what to do, it's not fair, and the very issue that you want to sensitize a group of people to, they become more, you're kind of dug in about, right? In this case, it would be some of these anti-Semitic tropes, which include, by the way, control of the media and these sorts of things. Would that be an argument that you might make to the league to say, look, we want greater understanding, but the way you're handling this at the moment may lead to something that, you know, a counterproductive result?
I sort of somewhat agree here. This is an attitude versus action question. What is the action you take to hopefully over time change attitudes? So from the standpoint that you can't go overboard here on these restraints or the recommendations that are making here. So I think there'll be some adjustment there. So from that standpoint, you're absolutely right. Attitudes, actions. There are actions that can be taken that obviously going forward will have an impact on this collaborative idea that I talk about. And I think that's where I see the NBA moving.
Charles, when people talk about Kyrie Irving just retiring and not playing basketball anymore, do you think that's actually something that could come to fruition?
Well, now we're talking about something different. We're talking now about how do all of these things affect the marketplace for his skill and his talents. And I think once he becomes a free agent, obviously there are certain conditions that will probably not exist that could have existed prior to all of this issue here. So the market will determine, will he sign a long-term contract somewhere else? Will he have a non-guaranteed contract that will be guaranteed based on certain meeting certain obligations on the way? So that is sort of a ticklish question right now. I don't think he's going to retire, and I think there will be someone that will give him a solid opportunity because he's got some good years left for him to play professional basketball.
Charles Grantham, ladies and gentlemen, former executive director of the NBPA from 88 to 95. Thank you for joining us this morning.
All right, Charlie.
Thank you, guys.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app. Key J, Kyrie Irving met with NBA Commissioner, or meets with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. If you were Kyrie... So here's the five. There's not just a five-game suspension without pay, right? Here were six requirements laid out for Kyrie that he has to fulfill before he can return to the team. One is apologize and condemn the film he promoted. Make a $500,000 donation to anti-hate causes. That's two. Three, complete sensitivity training. Four, complete anti-Semitism training. Five, meet with the ADL, that's the Anti-Defamation League, and Jewish leaders. And six, meet with team owner Joe Tsai to demonstrate an understanding of the situation. Now, it seems to me that from meeting with Joe Tsai in the past, Joe Tsai came away from the meeting thinking, this guy so doesn't get it, I want to meet with him again after he's done certain things so he can at least understand what we're talking about here, because either we have, you know, incompatible views here about something that is, you know, important, or he just doesn't understand it. So that's my read of the situation. But the way it comes across is that, wait a minute, how many hoops does a dude have to go through? Like, as soon as you hear sensitivity training, you're like, what kind of corporate box checking thing is this? Ridiculous, right? What would you do if you were Kyrie?
Before you ask me that question, do you feel like his apology is sufficient for you in order for him to come back and play?
I've already talked about this, Jay, but I'll say it again for those who didn't hear. I am satisfied that Kyrie said what you really want to know when someone does something like this, because people are complex and they may like, for example, in Kyrie's case, a pro-black message without the emphasis being on the anti-Jewish message, right? Or Ashkenazi Jewish, whatever you want to call it. It means white Jews, right? It may be that that's just a part of it that's not disqualifying for him, right? Or he's not even that aware of it because that's not what he's focused on. My point is, if I were promoting some whatever it was, and part of the collateral damage in my promotion is anti-black stuff, I just wouldn't do it. And if it was pointed out to me that I did, I'd be like, ooh, I'm sorry about that. I wouldn't do it. But what you really want to know when someone does something that Kyrie does is, where are you coming from?
Some kind of level of contrition.
No, not contrition. Where are you coming from? What Kyrie then said was, look, I don't hate anybody. I'm sorry to Jewish people who felt a certain like a way about that. So for me, I'm satisfied, and to me, it's time to turn the page. In other words, I said I accept your apology, right? Let's move on. And if you keep grilling him about it, he won't always apparently be able to articulate his position in a way that satisfies people.
Or maybe he's just tired of being grilled.
Yeah, but even before that, it was like he was getting...
So, Max, I think this is where there's an opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Because I think we hear about racial tropes, and I think we have an opportunity for an exchange of information. Here's how I feel
that people in the black community feel, right? So when there's a history of other things that have occurred in this country, Sarah Silverman doing blackface and Howard Stern saying the N-word, things that have gone on, it doesn't feel like those people, even though they've given an apology, right? It feels like that's all they had to do in order for the rest of the world to move on. Not saying that people didn't forget, but it was like, okay. And in the black community, we're like, well, wait a second. Like that doesn't feel like that's enough for us, but that's what society tells us should be enough. And we're supposed to accept that and move forward. So when we see these lists of things that Kyrie's supposed to jump through all these hoops to do, we're like, well, damn. Like, we're not asking other people to meet with the Black National Caucus or do sensitivity training. It just doesn't feel like there's equal weight or accountability on both sides there. And that makes people frustrated and angry about it.
But is that our fault, though, for not asking for those things?
Well, that's what we need. We need to start doing that. You're exactly right, Keith.
We need to be asking for those things and meeting with us and understanding how we feel, opposed to just brushing it off and saying, well, okay, well, the guy was, he lost his job, he was fired. Okay, yeah, that may be the case. But before he even gets another job, he needs to be sitting down with some of our leaders and getting educated on how we feel from a sensitivity standpoint and donating to some of our black causes that's out there.
Guys,
that's on us.
You see it as a kind of black-white issue. But it sounds that way.
I think it's just you are able to provide me through a perspective through a different lens considering your background, and I think it's the same. So let me tell you about that.
The reason I bring that up is this is not to me about the fact that Kyrie is black. This is the anti-Semitism of it. Now let me explain what I mean. If he were white, if he was a white player and did what he said, I wouldn't be from Negroes to Hebrews, right? It would be something else. But let's say it was something, source material that quoted Adolf Hitler favorably about some kind of wisdom about Jewish people, right? If all these things were required of that white player to come back, I'd be okay with it, right? I would say after a certain point, like, okay, wait, the player apologized, let's move on. But I don't think this is about black-white. What I think it's about, and this is something that I said during when people were talking about Black Lives Matter, I was on First Take, and I said, look, black life has always been cheap in this country, and it's time it starts getting more expensive, right? Like, you can't, like, people should be treated justly and fairly and like human beings, and that has not been true in the history of this country about black people. But now let me tell you something as a Jewish person that you may not be sensitive to, but is 100% part of Jewish history. When the world gets more illiberal, meaning less tolerant generally, which has happened around the world in the last, you know, 5-6 years, authoritarian governments on the rise, et cetera, including in this country. The target from both the right and the left, black and white, the Jewish experience is, it comes back to anti-Semitism. That's the one area where everyone kind of, so as a Jewish person, when you see something like this, you go, I see, we're being scapegoated. And when and that is like classic anti-Semitism. So whether Kyrie were black or white, these measures may be taken because while it's natural knee-jerk to see it as a black issue, this is the way a black player gets treated. What would a white person have to do this if he insulted black people, etc.? But if a white person did what Kyrie amplified something that anti-Semitic or that anti-Jewish, white Jewish, whatever you want to call it, these steps may also be taken, and if they weren't,
are not from the NBA.
Yeah,
they're from Joe Tsai.
Yes, agreed.
Right, so that's another deeper level to this. Considering, like, it's like it's almost like hypocritical to a degree. Like, we're gonna do all,
but that's a separate argument. Now you're shifting to a different argument, which may be valid.
Because if it was the NBA, that registers for everybody. This is from Joe Tsai. We don't know if it registered for everybody because it's from the owner. Mm-hmm. There's a difference there. As far as I'm concerned, and I don't know, Max, you accept the apology. I think I've heard him apologize a bunch over a period of time.
Turn the page.
So it's time to turn the page. I thought I seen somewhere where them and the Brooklyn Nets both gave $500,000 to donation, and then his $500,000 wasn't accepted.
But that was after, I think they wanted to accept it, and then when they heard him talk, these press conferences, we play you snippets, right? But as you hear it more, he says things that makes people think, wait, he doesn't get it still.
But here's what I would say, though, Max.
Can I say something quickly about that? Yeah. To me, it's not important that he gets every nuance about anti-Semitism. The main thing I want to know from Kyrie is, where are you coming from, man? And once he says, I don't hate anybody.
He already said that.
This is what I'm saying. Once he says, look, this is where I'm coming from. I don't hate anybody. I'm trying to be pro-black, not anti-anything else. I apologize for anyone I offended with it.
He's done
to me, I accept the apology. Time to turn the page.
He's done that. It's hard for me to – if he's done that, it's hard for me to sit here and understand how come the Brooklyn Nets and the organization, the owner, doesn't see that or understand or accept that. Why are you trying to do something different with Kyrie and his six things that requirements for him to come back to the team or be back on it? If I'm Kyrie, at some point, I'm going to be like, yo, man – you might want to try to move me because this is a lot. This really is. I've apologized a million one times. Now it seems like it's just so personal that you're going after me.
It is personal because it's a combination of the pandemic. It's a combination of a lot of other things that have occurred. It feels personal.
It's been conflated.
And
his stubbornness and his not wanting to be told what to do is being conflated with anti-Semitism. It's two different things.
And he got wrapped up with Kanye at the same time.
Yes, yes.
If this had happened at all.
Yeah. No, agree. Yeah.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, much more coming up, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.